Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg back, looks in the end zone, caught, touchdown, Penn State, Adam Brenneman, the Nittany Lions with heavy dose of running down the field, go play action and get the score. Back, direct snap, he'll take it, Abdullah to his left, Abdullah to the one, fumbles the football in the end zone, and Penn State recovers for a touchback. There they put the ball on the ground, it's been an Achilles heel for Nebraska all season. Jesse Della Valle recovered it.
Kellogg up to the line of scrimmage. Abdullah to his right. Crowd loud, raucous as the snow swirls at Beaver Stadium. Back goes Kellogg. Blitz coming. He's in trouble. Oh. Fumbles the football. It's loose at the top. Penn State recovers at the 8-yard line. There's the takeaway the Nittany Lions needed.
Play action. Rolling right side. It's Hackenberg. Sees the opening to the far corner to the five. Hackenberg's got it. Touchdown. Penn State on the boot. Leg and the Nittany Lions take the lead with 10:37 to go in the third quarter. And there goes James down the far sideline to the 10-5. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions take the lead on the first play of the fourth quarter.
All right. We didn't play the bad parts, huh?
we sort of cut those out, Steve. That was a woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of a game.
Well, yeah, it was. 17 points were scored in the game by the special teams of Nebraska. Three field goals, two extra points, and a kickoff return for a touchdown. And, of course, the way the game turned out, you have to include the extra points because Penn State scored three touchdowns.
And missed,
and missed an extra point. If they hit the extra point, they don't even go to overtime.
Like I said, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. The one play I thought, and I want your opinion on it, was the pass interference call when Nebraska had the ball inside their own one-yard line, third down, and they went for it all and got the pass interference call, which made it a 15. It's a 15-yard penalty, not a spot penalty. But, boy, did that bail them out of a jam.
It did, but the call was the right call.
Okay, well, that's what I needed to know.
Yeah, he pushed them. That, in fact, Nebraska, that call was a correct call. The call that Sam Burch on the block on Adrian Amos behind the play was an awful call.
I wonder what our listeners think about it.
No, that was an awful call.
Well,
okay, it absolutely benefited Penn State
without
a doubt. Because, it led, instead of a touchdown, it led to a field goal, but that was not a good call. I mean, that was a legal block. He has his head in front of him. It's to the side. The whole thing, look, it's football. And that was not, I looked at that call. If this call were the other way, Penn State fans would be howling today about this. How awful that call was.
Well, let me take the contrary view on that, because I believe that the penalty imposed was called unnecessary roughness. Emphasis on the word unnecessary.
And he blocked him.
Yes, but Abdullah was running down in front of him. The block meant nothing except to inflict damage on one of the players that was one of the participants. He didn't have to do it. Abdullah would have scored without it. It was unnecessary. And there's a big emphasis on safety. There's another word for it, and which is not a penalty, but it was a cheap shot. And the referees saw it a different way. I actually agree with that call. And I said it when it happened.
I thought it was an awful call.
I know you did. Jack were commenting on it in my headset at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah. We both thought it was. I'm sorry, but you're 5 to 8 yards behind the play. I get that part, but you're still entitled to block the guy, and he didn't cheap shot him.
It was obviously a legitimate block, but was it necessary? The referees. My understanding, there was an explanation on one of the media newspaper reports, is there's a huge emphasis this year on things like that that are unnecessary, that are, you know, rough, if you will. But so I don't know.
That call was unnecessary. All right. How about that one?
There you go.
The call was unnecessary. I've seen a few unnecessary calls.
Yes.
There was that old Marv Levy thing where he yells out at one point, NFL films had it. He goes, "You over-officious jerk." Right? Then he looks at one of the assistant coaches and says, "Went to college with that guy."
Get away with it.
Time now for a look at Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with the Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with the Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Pretty Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right. I noticed you didn't play back the kickoff return of the Pat Smith field goal.
No, those were deleted. You know, sitting in what I thought was the formerly irreplaceable Kevin Hurst seat in the control room is Sarah Bartlett today, Steve.
Hi.
Hey, Barty. Big game coming up Thursday. I mean, really, Thanksgiving.
Did you expect anything less from them? Come on. Like, they're both in the hunt now. Maybe you didn't think that at the beginning, but...
Bob, tell her exactly. What have I been saying for weeks now?
You've been saying that it's not over till it's over. This is not the best NFL's. There are not a lot of great NFL teams, exactly. And it's anybody's opportunity to win this thing or lose it.
I mean, my point has been the entire time about the Steelers. See, and the difference between Kevin and me is quite simple.
It's the
emotion part of it.
Yes.
Okay? It's the emotion part of it. I don't have a dog in the hunt. So I can look at it far more objectively than he can. So every little disaster turns into a trip to the bridge where I've got to talk him down. any little triumph, you know, ends up being, gee, what time do we start the parade? And I have to tell him, hey, look, tell the people with the floats to put them back in storage. All right, so.
Yes.
But I've looked at their schedule, and I've looked at how they play. All right, they have 5 wins. And I said, about 2 weeks ago? That I thought the entire Steelers season would be decided in a 5-day span. Cleveland, Baltimore. They won Cleveland. If they beat Baltimore, they're right there. Now, the problem is there are other teams that are in the hunt for this thing that have the all-important tiebreaker over the Steelers. Tennessee, for example, they beat them. They have the tiebreaker. Raiders, beat them. They have the tiebreaker. So, you know, Jets, tiebreaker. So there are too many teams. That's the one thing the Steelers have to do is they have to get past somebody. They can't be even with certain teams because they don't own that all-important head-to-head tiebreaker.
I think your prediction in the preseason where you thought that they could, that they had a range of outcomes in terms of win-loss record, anything from 8-8 to 10-6 or 6-10 is proving to be pretty much spot on.
Well, I said they would be anywhere from a 6-10 to 9-7 team.
Yeah.
I said 10-6 would be the top out there to possibly get. I said they're an 8-8 team. that if they don't, if they somehow catch every break on the planet and win two big games, they could be 10-6. I said, the flip side is they could have a couple games that are dogs that end up, they end up 6-10. There's, you know, like I said, they're an 8-8 football team. Mm-hmm. I said that in August. Okay, and that 8-8 football team swings one way or the other based on key games. One of those key games is Thursday night when they take on the Ravens in Baltimore.
And Sarah, I imagine by Wednesday will be coming into the studio just totally overwhelmed in Raven gear.
Well, yes, I'm very excited. I was actually at the Ravens Jets game yesterday.
Oh.
In Baltimore, which was freezing.
I can imagine it was. Yes.
But, you know, it came out with the win, so that was good.
You know, Geno Smith, another marvelous performance.
Yeah, that was kind of horrific.
Kind of?
Well, I was trying to be nice.
I understand. Of the three of us, you are the kind one.
Yes, she is. She's a generous and kind person and really overlooks some things just because she is a kind person. Steve, I have... change my odds on a Southern Columbia Steelers game. I had Southern Columbia by 3 points. The fact that the Steelers are coming on, I've now changed it to Steelers by 7.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad. Usually a 19-14 high school loss normally decreases your odds of beating an NFL team.
Yes, it does. It really does. One of the amazing games in high school football was played Friday night with Southern Columbia Tigers being upset again by the Old Forge team from the Scranton area. Old Forge, known for its pizza, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I've had a number of people. Steve, you want to come to Old Forge? Get some pizza. I finally went to Old Forge.
Did you
finally?
Really?
I went to Old Forge 2 years ago. Oh, find it. Find it? Are you kidding me? I get there, and you know, here's the unfortunate part. The reason I went to Old Forge is because a friend passed away.
Okay.
Okay. So I go to the funeral home, and I go to the wake. All right. Well, this is a very popular guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people there. The number of people. Steve, you're going to go to Old Forge Pizza? Go to Old Forge Pizza. All right. They're writing down which one. Well, the Shrives and the McGloins, okay?
Yes.
Were finally the ones that said I should go to a place called Ravello's, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and so I go in, and I order. And I said, that's great. And all of a sudden, he comes over, he says, as you're sitting here, you want some drinks? I said, sure, I'll just have a soft drink, you know, for the road. I'm going to drive back. He goes, oh, we know you do. I said, you know I do? I said, the guy says, Mr. Jones, we listen to every game, you know. like, okay, fine. So I was like, okay. I should have ordered differently, maybe.
Yes, you should have.
Right? But, yes, I've had Old Forge pizza, all right?
Yeah, all right. Well, Old Forge is in the state semifinals, knocking off Southern. Much to Kevin's chagrin and all that film study, the Danville Ironmen were upset by Troy.
Look, it didn't do him any good. Good does it do him?
I sat with Kevin and his lovely wife Friday night at the Danville Stadium.
Long-suffering
one. Oh, yes. And it was frustrating. I'll tell you one of my pet peeves later on about that game. The only team that won in this northeast region in the central Susquehanna, yeah, the Berwick Bulldogs.
Again, George,
yes,
Curry's team. Yep.
There's a reason why he's the all-time winningest high school coach. Steve, I don't know if I said this, but listen to this fact about Berwick since Curry's been there, the second season. Every one of their teams in their program from seventh grade to high school, undefeated this year.
Amazing.
Yes, it is. So they play
actually,
at Central Mountain.
I've met George a few times. Personally, I personally like him.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I mean, I really personally like him a lot. So today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Let me tell you about Friday's show as we head to the news. Friday's show is going to include John Bacon on the reform of the NCAA and a look back 40 years of the famous Michigan-Ohio State game. And Lem Barney, the Hall of Fame defensive back of the Detroit Lions, is going to join us on Friday. How about that? here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you back on the show. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Buhner's in the house. Kevin is in the Grand Caymans. Something about an account.
Yes. And no money reported missing anywhere so far, but that remains to be seen. I actually think where Kevin is, I think he's providing for his family, going turkey hunting up in the North Woods to get the old bird on for Thanksgiving Day.
The old bird?
Yeah.
That doesn't...
That didn't come out the way it was supposed to.
Well, geez, Bob, I hope some of your summations are better than that.
Many were not, Steve. Many were not.
Did you write those or ad-lib them?
A closing argument?
Yeah.
I wrote them almost verbatim. Then I would then take the verbatim. It would take literally hours. I would compress it to key words, and then I would ultimately memorize the key words. But I would, for every minute that I did a closing argument, which would typically be between 45 and 60 minutes, I would spend anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes massaging it, working it out, getting the... Because that's the last thing a juror would ever hear in a case is the closing argument of the prosecutor. It was very important. So, yeah. But I'm just ad-libbing. I don't write anything out.
Right, exactly.
But no, that was... And the truth of the matter is I worked on the closing arguments first because I wanted to import to the jurors the law and the facts. So when I was preparing for a trial, you do it in reverse. You do your closing argument, then you do your witnesses. The last thing I would do when I had it all organized and prepared for trial was the opening statement. Just the way you do it. And that's the way I've trained other prosecutors to do a jury trial. Is you have to understand what the law and the facts are in your case. So that's what you work on first. And then you fit in the fact witnesses and the law throughout the presentation of witnesses to a jury. And then finally, when you've got it all together and you figure it out where it's going to end up in terms of closing argument witnesses, then you take that and you boil that down to the opening statement you're going to make at where you outline your case to a juror, to a jury. So that's how you do it.
I usually just show up. They point me toward the field or court. I talk.
You are, yeah. Well, you've got.
I don't have anything that important to do, Bob. Nobody's life is on the line when I do it.
Usually, as I've said many times, when I would sign a document, it usually meant somebody was probably going to jail. So there was a bit of a liberty interest at stake. I have to tell you a funny thing that happened kind of Saturday night. We missed the Moeller tailgate because we had to get on the road because of the bad weather.
We were there, and Jack and I froze for an hour.
Oh, man. It was cold. So we had to get back on the road, and we're coming down, and I'm sure all the listeners know, Route 45 from State College into Lewisburg. We're 5 miles out of State College. It was apparently a severe automobile accident. Hit a electric pole. The power was out. From literally outside of State College all the way to the western side of Mifflinburg. And we're traveling down the road, and as you go into places like Milheim and Aaronsburg on the way home, complete blackness. They've got the fire trucks and the volunteer firemen out at red lights and things directing traffic. We come to this cluster of houses, and my friend, a famous district attorney from Northumberland County, currently in office, whose name I won't speak, but who is referred to as Tony, was driving. And he goes, look, the power must be back on. And I said, Tony, it's the Amish. They don't care. We came to a cluster of Amish houses. They're lit up like Christmas trees. The rest of the world into darkness. But it was a lot of black ice coming down, leaving the game. And we had gotten the reports of that. So we had to head out as soon as we could. We were fearful the road conditions would only get worse. They didn't. They were bad to begin with.
Right. No, they were, yeah. And that's what I worry about. as I've got to go to Philadelphia here later, probably Thanksgiving Day, to pick up a my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. Yeah. And of course, I'm supposed to go get her. Well, let's see here. I'm trying to think. I'm supposed to get her Tuesday night. Well, I have a game Tuesday night, so I can't do that. So then I'm supposed to go get her Wednesday. Well, I looked at the weather. Of course, Sarah makes it seem like it's Armageddon.
Yeah.
But got to take care of that. So it looks like Thanksgiving morning is my best.
Yeah. Yeah, that weather report that Sarah gave with her flair for the dramatic has scared. No, it hasn't. I'm just teasing.
It's just AccuWeather. But yeah. Hey, we are expecting some snow on Wednesday.
Yeah, believe me, I'm well aware of that. You know, I'm very well aware.
Not trying to worry anyone.
All right, yeah, you're not trying to worry anybody. Just like, don't drive.
Just telling you, don't drive. Except that, Steve, you're gonna have to.
Yeah, I have to.
She wants to come home for Thanksgiving. Okay.
Right, I understand that. You know.
And listen, Steve, if you text Kevin, because I know he always looks forward to your text messages. Ask him always.
Because oh, you don't, sure he does.
Because you don't send any.
It's exactly right. And he's just sitting there waiting and waiting. In fact, he's waiting for his text today to come into work.
I know, and he didn't get one, so he didn't show up. Friday night, and this is true, I am sitting next to him at the Danville-Troy football game. And before kickoff, he says, you know, I'm texting Steve every quarter with the score, every time something happens. And I said, that's, you know, really good. Do you expect to receive anything back from him, like, until, say, Sunday? And he goes, well, I'm hoping to. Kevin is such an optimist.
You know what happened? The phone of my coat. Well, I didn't see any of them until Saturday morning.
Oops. Well, but anyway, if you text him and say you would need some extra turkeys because you have kids coming home for Thanksgiving, I'm sure he can go out in the woods and find you a few.
Yeah, sure.
He is Nanook of the North, the great white hunter.
Oh, you know, the first day of deer season is Monday, right?
Right.
That's, wow. Okay.
Yeah, big season right here. You know, the fifth largest standing army in the world could be Pennsylvania hunters on the first day of deer season. When you put about 800,000 to a million hunters in the woods, that's a pretty large army, all with guns.
just remember, it's Kevin.
Yes, it is.
I mean, really, if you had to be, if there's a reason they make you wear orange, he's it.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything except that he does look like the great pumpkin when he's wearing his orange out in the woods.
I hope he's not sitting out there with a little tiny radio listening to this.
Yeah,
but we all know he is.
Well, his option was to bring a little tiny radio or one of those little tiny airline bottles.
Oh, I have to say he is absolutely a joy, and I'm saying this truly, to sit with at a football game, because people who don't know him and only know him from being on the radio think he's kind of this serious guy. He's actually quite funny and very humorous. We had a great time Friday night.
When?
Well, on Friday night, for the first time in his life, he had a few lines. Now, let me tell you, if I can, Steve, a pet peeve that I have, and I'm being serious for a second. I dislike it immensely in sports when one team runs up the score on another team.
Yeah, I hate that, too.
In 1981, I was chairman of the Board of Trustees at Bloomsburg University. We played Millersville. Millersville, under Dr. Gene Carpenter, who's known for doing this, ran up the score 71-0 over Bloomsburg.
I actually worked a game once with Gene Carpenter.
He just was so competitive and disliked Bloomsburg, he really wanted to run it up. Otherwise, he's a PhD. He's got a PhD in education.
Yes, he does.
And a really nice guy off the field. Well, they ran it up, and as we convened a meeting of the Board of Trustees at Bloomsburg University to discuss what to do about the football program. The result was we hired a young guy named George Landis, whom you know from Penn State days.
I know George very well.
Yes.
In fact, because with Jack, I've gotten to know Jack, George very well.
And
what a great guy.
He is, and he came around and turned around a program that was 1-17 in the two preceding years. And by his fourth year of recruits, they were 12-1, ranked third in the country, lost to an incredible team in North Alabama for the national semifinals. But had Gene Carpenter only won 35-0, that may never have happened. So I've always been upset about this. So Friday night, Danville and Troy are playing. Danville had lost its quarterback early in the season.
Yep.
And in the middle of the game, lost its all-state linebacker on defense. It's 28-14 with about 4 minutes to go. Troy, a team that does not pass but two or three times a game, tried to throw a bomb in the end zone to run it up. I was a little upset by that because they didn't need to. They could have simply run out the clock. Danville gets the ball. They score. Troy then decides to, with under a minute to go, they run down the field play after play. They score with a minute to go and decide to go for 2 points on the extra point try.
Right.
Not a happy sight to see that happen. You know, that was kind of rubbing it in the noses of a depleted team that was going to lose. It made no difference in the outcome, but it was just a kind of, in my opinion, a we'll show you kind of a statement. And it just had no place in high school. It had no place anywhere.
If a team is running the football and you can't stop them, you can't stop them.
Right, okay? Exactly.
Right. Now, the next part is, if I put my backup quarterback in, now say, for example, I have a balanced offense. If I put my backup quarterback in there, I am going to throw a couple of short passes.
Sure.
Just to get him in the feel of, like, hey, a short out here, or maybe something quick over the middle, but nothing where I'm going to go beyond 20 yards. I'm not going to stretch the field beyond 20 yards, okay? I'm just not going to do that. But I'm only going to do it a couple times just so he gets the ball, gets back to pass, feels a pass rush around him, deliver the ball, and at least I got something out of the game. Okay? That's how I look at it. After that, I'm just going to keep the ground. I mean, but again, if I'm going to throw the ball, it's going to be something short where he just takes it and at least in the feel of the game completes a couple passes. Boom. Done. I think it's not... Bobby Bowden had a saying, and I disagree with this. He says, you coach your team, I'll coach my team. I think sportsmanship is a responsibility of everybody in the game. I think class is something that's a responsibility of everybody in the game. Again, if you're running the football, let's take Ohio State, Penn State. All right, Kenny Guyton got in the game. I think he threw two passes.
Yeah.
Right. They put Cardale Jones in the game. He didn't throw the ball at all. I don't think he maybe threw it once, but that didn't bother me at all.
No.
I mean, the only thing Urban Meyer did wrong, in terms of not wrong, you can do it, but in terms of the spirit of the game, was challenging the fourth down spot.
Oh, that was terrible.
Okay. Right, okay. Now, let's take that off the table. There wasn't a single thing else he did in that game that you would consider running up the score. Nothing.
Right.
Ran the ball, backup quarterback, just like a couple of show-me throws. The third-string guy comes in there. All he does is run. He didn't do a single thing in the middle from the middle of the third quarter to the end of the game where he was trying to like put a number up, except for the challenge of the spot. Okay, that was it. I mean, and other than that, he didn't. And we know Joe didn't do it. I mean, it's just not Joe's MO. Did it cost him a national championship one time? Maybe it did.
Maybe in Indiana.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you're talking about, I mean, it's that kind of, but that's the immaturity and the lack of savvy of the voters that's exposed and not the class of the coach.
And, you know, the one thing about a Penn State, Ohio State is that these two teams are going to be playing each other for the next X number of years, well into the unforeseeable future. And you don't want to ever get that kind of a mentality of, we'll top you next year because you stuck it to us this year. That does nothing for football, and I think the key word you said, which I would have added, is sportsmanship.
I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, you look at Troy. Kevin watched a lot of tape, so he told me that Troy ran the ball.
They did.
Okay. Well, you know, them throwing at that point of the game,
first of all, is
not their MO. What are they doing?
And they could have literally run out the clock – They did have a great athlete in their quarterback who was everything Kevin said he was going to be. Kevin had it spot on. But throwing a 50-yard bomb when you only throw it four times a game, when there's like a couple minutes left in the game, you're already up by two scores, kind of didn't sit well with the Ironman faithful, I can tell you that.
Well, they're probably going to play Troy again for a while anyways.
No, that's true, because no one can figure out where it is on a map to even get a schedule to schedule a game with him, thankfully. But it was Kevin was invested in the game Friday night, and I think he had high hopes for where his son is a player, to play another week. But that's not going to come to fruition now, obviously.
Yeah, well, I was kind of hoping too for the kid's safety, because he'll take the kid out with him hunting, and I just
not a good thing.
I mean, the only thing safe when Kevin is out hunting are the deer. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, later week we are working on getting Jack Ham on the show this week. I know we're going to have John Bacon Friday. I know we're going to have Lem Barney on Friday. How about that? A little Hall of Fame action in there. Lem Barney, by the way, who lives in South Michigan, the hometown of Allen Robinson. So we got that later in the week. We got Geiger on this week. Neil Coulong about the Steelers this week. Matt LePay, Wisconsin Radio Network. We're working him. There's a lot going on.
A huge amount. And, you know, I think we should promote a bet between Sarah, because she is such a Ravens fan, and Kevin, who everybody knows is a Steelers fan. We've got to come up with a fair wager for the two of them for Thursday night's big game between the Steelers and the Ravens.
I tried before to make Kevin wear one of my jerseys when the Ravens won. That didn't work out.
There was a size issue,
the best,
Sarah.
So
there was a size issue.
Else. Yeah. Something.
Kevin, if the Ravens win, Kevin has to get you a Joe Flacco jersey.
Okay.
Excellent.
And
if the Steelers win, if the Steelers win, you have to just, you know, buy them a bag of Oreos.
Okay. This is a fair bet.
You know, I think it should be something involving
one item costs $125, the other one $269.
Well, yeah. I think it should be something involving eating, because we all know that that's something that does crab cakes.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a bet over crab cakes.
You know, yes. And a Pramonti sandwich.
Yes, I was going to say, at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, Pramonti's,
which has slaw and French fries in it. Yeah. Sarah,
is it?
I've never had one. I have been to Pittsburgh, not to a Steelers game, but I've been to a Pirates game, but I've actually never had those sandwiches.
Yes, Steve. People in northeastern Pennsylvania have no clue about a Pramonti Brothers sandwich, and you've said it right. It's a sandwich, folks, where if it's a ham and cheese, they pile it up high, and then they throw on French fries and coleslaw between the bread and add it to the mix. And it's a late night favorite for a certain crowd that leaves Steeler games after having Iron City beer off afternoon.
So, yeah, okay, so that's a Raven. Of course, the stakes are about as high as they can be in it for these two teams on a Thanksgiving night. You know, which one is still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. So the stakes are high for a Thanksgiving Day game, as opposed to the stakes in the Cowboys-Raiders game. I'm not so quite sure what the stakes are. We do get to, you know, although Jason Johnson did point out on Facebook, he finally gets to see Matt McGloin play with the Raiders.
That's true. I mean,
so that's, so you get a chance to see that. He'll be going up against the Dallas defense that does not include Sean Lee, thus his odds exponentially increase. Because I can tell you right now, Lee picked him off a few times in practice when Matt was on scout team.
I bet he did. Yeah, that's a sad thing with Sean not being there. That would be just, you know, a great storyline. McGloin going against Sean Lee.
Well, look at the top defensive players in the league, Bob.
Oh, I know.
Tamba Hali, Navarro Bowman, Sean Lee, even to a point, Paul Posluszny. Excuse me. What do they all have in common? Everybody, show of hands.
It would be blue and white.
My goodness.
Yeah, and there's a few other. Hasn't Hodges done well?
Hodges and Motti are both doing well. A lot of special team stuff, although the two of them, I think, I had a long talk with Mike 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Jack and I had a long talk with Mike when we were out in Minnesota. And next year could be a very interesting year for them to each move into the rotation. And next year, by the way, they play outside, too, because the Metrodome's being imploded after their final home game coming up.
Ooh.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. News next, top of the hour, CBS News, followed by Sarah Bartlett.